everybody.
Hi, guys. Welcome, gorgeous Salt Lake City, Utah.
It's Thank God I'm Atheist.
The podcast.
I'm Frank Feldman.
And I'm Dan Beecher.
And coming up on the show today, Dan, Florida passes a chaplaincy in the high schools law, and we're going to talk about it.
Well, and a bunch of other states are doing it, and yeah. there's a whole, like, big specter being raised about that, and they address it, and we're going to talk about it.
All right.
Hint, it's Satan.
Well, first we have some stuff to talk about, Dan. Other stuff to talk about. New things that happened this week. News, I guess you could say.
The various news.
And sundries. All right, Dan. Baltimore.
Okay. Okay. I've heard of it. It's a city.
Yeah, it's a city.
They're down a bridge recently.
And a bunch of parishes. Catholic parishes. The Archdiocese of Baltimore has announced that 40 of its 61 parishes in Baltimore and the surrounding areas are going to be closing.
Wow.
40 out of 61.
That's not a small number.
No, but this is in response to the fact that in the mid 1900s, right?
Yeah.
Sort of at the peak of American religiosity and church going, right? There were more than 250,000 people attending those same parishes. Mm-hmm. And today there's about 5,000 to 8,000.
Oh, womp womp. So sad.
And many of these people are even driving in from the suburbs because that's maybe their family's historic parish, you know.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just like, you know, Baltimore or something.
But everybody, they come from far and wide to go to Baltimore.
Let's see. The fellow who is running the parish restructuring efforts, a guy by the name of Bruce Lewandowski. He's an auxiliary bishop.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
I have no idea either.
It feels like it means that they've got like they've got like a silo of bishops sort of in the back. If they need one, they'll just call one in or whatever.
He swears that the proposal is not related to the Archdiocese decision to file for bankruptcy. This is Archdiocese that you'll recall that back in September filed for bankruptcy ahead of a new state law going into effect that would allow more survivors of childhood sexual abuse to file lawsuits.
Those fucking assholes. Like before they even have, before the troubles really hit them.
They file for bankruptcy. And now they're like closing everything down. They're divesting of their assets.
Oh my God. Well,
la, la, la.
All I can say is look for some coffee shops and some really cool buildings coming up soon.
Yeah. I bet there are some cool ones. The article included a sort of a street photo with a bunch of, you know, row houses, sort of a very sort of The Wire looking scene, with a nice looking Catholic church in the middle.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm somebody who likes a good piece of landmark architecture or landmark Absolutely. Building. Yeah, these things should be kept. They should be used for something.
Yeah,
Take those little crosses down. Unless, of course, the cross is important to the sacrilege that you are about to commit.
Right. Use it as the T in your sign. Whatever you call your business when you buy this thing, just use the cross as the T in, you know, watershed or whatever you call your business.
Or just call it the tea shop.
The tea shop.
You have to
get some tea
At the tea shop.
And you have to make the rest of the letters out of the same wood and then hang it in the same way.
And also, maybe ye old tea shoppy. I always like the tea, the oldie shoppy.
Did you know that the ye isn't ye?
It's the. Yeah.
It's the.
Yeah,
that's not, that is not a Y. That is meant to be a thorn. That is a letter called thorn.
Yeah. Totally off topic. I regret we don't have a letter for TH.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
It was a bad development.
when we started just adding an H to a T.
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
That's no way to make a fricative. I don't remember. What is it?
I don't know. It's no way to run a language. That's what I'm going to say.
Like, dental fricative.
If only that was the only example I could readily pull.
A linguodontal fricative. I think that's what it is. Anyway,
Christ, can we move on?
We're trying. I am going to take us to France now, where there has been a lawsuit, a labor dispute. And if I just explained it like this, it would be fine. Everything would be fine, which is a woman was fired from her job. And she was not given any adequate reason for it. She was told literally nothing about it, other than there was an internal investigation in the company, and she was found to be outside of the company's, you know, rules or whatever, and was fired. And so she sued the company and said, hey, you can't do this. And the courts found in favor of her, and the company had to pay some money. That all sounds normal. But when she's a nun and the company is the Catholic Church, all hell breaks loose.
Oh, no. Well, okay. Yeah, she deserved it.
Yeah, this was sent in to us from a listener who also wrote us an email. So we'll hear that later. But so what apparently did happen was that the nun was dismissed from... She had been a nun for 30 something years, 34 years. And then she was,
that's a long time to stay with an employer, you know?
Right. And especially like to stay there gaining no other skills that are like exportable to other jobs or whatever. She sued, rightfully so. And the Vatican is furious. Because France has decided that, you know, civil laws apply to the church.
Right, and the church isn't used to that.
Exactly. The church is like, how dare you? Absolutely not. You can't just ask us to say why we're firing people. We don't have to do that. We decided she's not nun worthy, and therefore no more nunning for you.
Yeah.
So
enough with this nonsense.
Right? Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah. But
so yes,
I had nothing else, Dan. I was trying.
It's fine. It's fine. We'll allow it. She was awarded 200,000 euros.
In what is
listed here as material and moral damages, as well as some fines.
Moral damages?
I guess so. Wow. She was morally damaged. Maybe morale. I don't know. I mean, it says moral, but I don't know.
Her morale is down. Give her 200,000 euro. All right. Yeah. That's crazy.
But don't worry, the Catholic Church is appealing. So I don't find it very appealing, but
no way. All right. Well, Dan.
Yeah.
I'm proud of me for picking this story this week. This is a feel-good story about the atheist community in general. We don't do these a lot, right?
No.
It's usually horrifying stories about, you know.
Mormons or
Muslims whatever. Doing horrible things to women and whatnot. So there's this group that got going really not too many years ago. I think the article said something like 2019 is when they initially formed in LA as a group with a cause, an atheist group with a cause. And that cause is removing religious signs from public property that just get randomly posted. Right.
Oh,
these are like stickers on and little flyers that are put on like, you know, light posts and telephone poles, right?
Sure.
Around the city, or that are like adhered to walls or hung up across.
Are they also doing more controversial things like taking crosses that commemorating the death of someone off of the highway or whatever?
Well, this is oh, Jesus.
Because
that would be a thing.
Because that would cause a ruckus.
I think that one, hopefully they know to maybe just leave alone for now.
Or complain to the state and let the state have to handle it.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't want to be because they refer to this stuff as litter and trash, right?
Yeah.
That they're picking up. And the group, they call themselves the Atheist Street Pirates. they're part of the Atheist United group that's based in L.A., which is a regional affiliate of the American Humanist Association. Okay. But they kind of got started in LA and they started posting putting pins on like a Google map that's sort of publicly available. You can go and look and see where they're sort of identifying litter that needs to be picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And this map has exploded. It's now national. People have been posting pins and groups are going out around the country and taking down these signs. In fact, New York City sort of welcomed the initiative.
Yeah.
Because
they'll take all the help they can get.
They want to know where the stuff is so they can send out, you know, their own street crews to clean it up. And but then also you just have sort of these vigilantes, these pirates who are going out and doing it themselves and just stripping the stuff
down.
I assume
that some of these, it would take less effort to just pry it off than to actually mark it with a pin on a Google map.
Yeah, but I think it's, you're probably right, and there's probably a lot of that that just happens. But I think
if you don't have your scraping tools handy.
Yeah, or you're just driving by and you see it on a lamppost or whatever. But also, I think it's probably important for cities to know what kind of problem they have. Right.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They can, direct resources this way. And it got me kind of thinking about it. And it's true. I see this shit around, even here in Salt Lake City, fairly often. Right.
Yeah.
And it's just part of sort of the white noise, the visual white noise of the city. Yeah. And we're used to a certain amount of litter and a certain amount of just stuff posted technically illegally on street lampposts. And we just kind of no big deal. But I think they're right to be pointing this out, that like this should be all taken down. One of the group's members out of Texas had this to say, we wouldn't tolerate this kind of, they're saying that it's essentially some of these signs a lot of these signs are actually a microaggression by Christian nationalist groups. Right.
Sure.
So this guy from Texas, this individual from Texas says, we wouldn't tolerate this kind of bullying against other groups. How would people react to a sign proclaiming that being straight or cisgender or that white power is the way? Right.
Right.
And essentially, that is the coded messaging behind most of these signs.
Yeah.
They're really sort of, it's really interesting because a lot of people are coming out of the woodwork, so to speak. A lot of atheists are coming out of the woodwork and kind of joining up and finding community, working with other atheists in their area to go around and take down these signs or just have a group that reports them. I think it's a really great rallying cause, actually.
Yeah.
Like it's simple, it's straightforward, I'm personally going to be on the lookout for this stuff more.
Yeah.
Because we're just used to it, right? It's that sort
of... I'm just such a smartass that my impulse would not be to take it down. It would be to deface it in some fun and clever way.
Well, yeah.
I would rather add my own sticker than take away theirs. I want to do commentary.
Well, that's fine. If that's what you want to do, Dan, you should go do it.
Theirs is the better way. I will be honest. Yeah. Theirs is the better way. All right.
I guess they collected up a lot of it and did like an art show.
And, I remember that. I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. The banner that I think they love highlighting. It says Jesus is King. Accept it. And that's E-X-C-E-P-T.
Oh, they made a whole banner?
Oh, no. Jesus is King. Accept it.
And spell check didn't even catch it.
Well, yeah. Because spell check doesn't work with spray paint.
And if it's a real word, you know. Anyway. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm gonna take us to Wisconsin, where the Dane County Board of Supervisors met recently, and it was proposed that they would give a couple $100,000 to a nonprofit group called Porchlight that works on helping homeless people.
Okay.
And you will be shocked. I say shocked to learn that there were Christians who voted against it. Specifically one of the Christians, Jeff Wigand. I don't know what, I assume that's how you pronounce it. Jeff Wigand, a young conservative looking fellow, got up, and said, "Hey, look," I watched the video of this. Basically he said, "Look, I think we should help these people, but this isn't helping the root cause. All we're doing is putting a bandage over this thing. We're giving them one night, a bed for a night, but we're not solving the root cause of homelessness."
Okay. I'm suspicious.
He knows the root cause. He knows the answer.
Oh, good. Finally, someone does. Someone's figured it out.
And we know this because one of the other members got up and said, "So, okay, great. I'm on board to solve the root cause of homelessness. Can you tell me what that is?" And Wigand got back up and said, "Sin is the root cause of homelessness."
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, Dan, everybody knows this.
It's so obvious when you think about it. and made a really compelling argument to support his theory that sin is the root cause. I'll just quote him. He didn't basically say this. This is exactly what he said. He said, "When God created this world, there was no sin. Oh. He created a perfect world.
Oh, no.
Man ruined that by sinning, and we've seen the depravity and the decline of our world ever since then. So when we talk about the root cause, if you really want to go back to why we have mental health issues, to why we have greed, to why we have people being mean to other people, it's sin.
And
until we address that issue, we're going to continue to see." What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, by that argument, we shouldn't address any issue.
Don't address any issues.
If literally the root cause is sin, and that disqualifies helping homeless people,
right?
Then it literally disqualifies.
Why are anything. We making? Don't any, make like, laws against murder.
Yeah,
that's because sin is the root cause of murder. So we need to just figure out sin. Right. Let's put all of our eggs into the figuring out sin basket. And then all of our problems will go away.
Oh, Dan, I saw this headline and I didn't read the article. I was like, oh, that sounds kind of funny. And I just kind of moved on. And but in my mind, I assumed that he was talking about the kinds of sin that could actually lead to homelessness. Right. Like maybe drug use. Right. Yeah.
That's what I assumed as well.
Which is
he didn't even get that good of an argument.
Oh, good Lord.
It wasn't even that strong. What the fuck?
He didn't even go with a let's blame these people.
Yeah.
Argument for their homelessness. Yeah. Like that feels, it feels, I don't know. Feels like he awful. Missed an opportunity to like,
yeah. But also
to actually be as hateful as we know he is.
I love that he name checked the problems of greed and being mean to other people in his in like, bro, that's literally what you're doing by not voting for this. I'm not going to spend taxpayers' money on helping these shitbags. And then he's like complaining about greed and being mean to other people. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean,
he's like,
we all suffer until from this sin thing.
Until we address this sin thing, I'm going to be an asshole. So it's really the biggest problem facing us. I don't know why we're focusing on anything else.
We have, oh God. All right. Well, that's a thing, Dan.
Yeah.
That's wild. That's one of the. I just can't. We just agree to be good and decent,
and help
people out as a society. Like,
have you read any of what Jesus had to say about helping people ever?
And yet, somehow we're shocked that a Christian has missed the message.
Yeah, I know.
Because that's like the most on-brand thing he could do as a Christian is to completely miss the message of Christianity.
It's true. Well, as an American Christian, especially.
Right. Yeah. Well, okay. I, Dan, would like to take us to Brooklyn, New York.
The fair borough of Brooklyn.
Where the Roman Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn has agreed to independent oversight of clergy sex abuse allegations. Now, this is actually coming as a settlement between the office of the New York Attorney General, headed up by a now very famous Letitia James. Mm-hmm. So basically, the Attorney General's office was accusing the diocese of mismanaging clergy sexual abuse cases. I'm sure that comes as a shock to nobody. Investigators found that officials with the diocese failed to comply with their own sex abuse policies put into place after the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops adopted the Charter for the Protection of Children and Young People in 2002. Okay, so that's kind of the background. And then they just, I guess, ignored it. So, yeah. Because one case that they found, there was a priest who had admitted that he had repeatedly sexually abused minors, who was defrocked in 2007. But you know, he requested confidentiality and the diocese kept the secret until 2017, when it announced, that the priest had been credibly accused of and admitted to abusing children. And, the priest the entire time had been working, at two different universities, just out in the world, just doing his thing.
Don't worry, you guys. We told him not to be a priest anymore. It's fine.
Right.
Just out. We handled it.
Yeah, exactly. Another priest was transferred from parish to parish. That's always horrifying.
Yeah, that's their best trick.
After church officials had learned of problems with him back in the 1990s, a nun had witnessed the principal behaving inappropriately with young boys, is how the article phrases it.
Let's make it sound nice.
She actually quit her job back in 2000 over this.
Good. And so the good person lost their job instead of the bad one. That's great.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Also the woman.
Right.
And at the time, the diocese only issued a warning to the priest, who was not removed from duty or barred from interacting with minors until 2018.
Good Lord.
So anyway, they had tons of examples of this. They went after the diocese. The diocese settled and agreed to a whole bunch of stuff, including this independent oversight.
Yes, independent agreement, oversight,
right,
done by the Catholic League and...
Well, actually, no, I don't believe so. I think they actually, I mean, Letitia James is agreeing to this. So I have a feeling it's fairly legit. But Bill Donahue did have to, he needed to chime in on this whole thing.
Of course he did.
And this is actually how I found the story, was through his ridiculous response. And I was like, wait, what happened? He's spinning something here, I thought to myself. For those of you who don't know Bill Donahue, he's a real peach. He's head of the Catholic League, as Dan just alluded to. But he issued this whole statement just sort of saying things like, the Office of the Attorney General contends that the agreement requires the diocese to take significant action to prevent and address allegations of clergy sexual abuse and make reforms such as installing an independent secular monitor who will oversee the diocese's compliance with policies and procedures. Fact check, it was the diocese which proposed the appointment of a third party. And maybe it was their idea, because they were in the middle of a settlement proceeding and they were trying to get out of some serious trouble. He says, as I recount in my book, The Truth About Clergy Sexual Abuse, Clarifying the Facts and the Causes, there is no institution in the nation that has a better record of combating the sexual abuse of minors today than the Catholic Church.
Oh, Lord.
The Catholic Church.
Yep. That's what we all feel.
You really want to stand behind that statement, sir? Because I think the facts would contradict that a little bit.
Yikes. All right, fine. Well, there's some terrible news out of Dublin, Ireland.
Dan, I thought we agreed this was going to be a good news episode.
Well, and then you, then you brought Bill Donahue into it.
I'm sorry. I broke the rules first.
So, yes, every year for the last 76 years, the Dublin airport has had a wonderful thing happen. A miracle, really.
Really?
Which is that, because that airport happens to be closed on Christmas Day, and, you know, they therefore, you know, nobody's there except a skeleton crew, every Christmas for the last 76 years, some Catholic priest has gone out and blessed all of the airplanes
at
the airport.
That's adorable.
It's a beautiful, beautiful tradition.
Oh, look at that sad little priest out there.
Yeah.
Blessing. What harm does it do?
I mean, it does, but also what good does it do? there has been a terrible thing has occurred, which is that new rules have gone into place. Shocking rules that say that, like, because of security, we need to only allow airport operations personnel access to, you know, what they call airside access. You can't have non-security personnel out there with the planes, because, planes are a big target for, terrorism and whatnot.
Well,
not that there's ever been any terrorism in Ireland. That's never happened.
Yeah, okay. But, like, and I guess if you let the priest out, you might have to let I don't know.
A new mom. And it,
that's where I was going. And that should get everybody up in arms.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. What happens? Yeah, exactly. What happens on Christmas Day when the imam's like, hey, I want to go too. Let's do this together.
I want to go bless some planes too.
Yeah. Yeah. So as of right now, the rules are that this Christmas, there will be some planes that go unblessed. So the nothing that they've been doing will be even nothinger.
God, I hope none of those planes is a Boeing.
Yeah, one wants to look at the records for those planes and just see.
Whatever's parked on Christmas Day that's not getting blessed, it needs to fly.
Yeah.
Because we can't have this guy going, see, I didn't bless the plane, and guess what happened?
The Boxing Day disaster of 2025 or whatever, 2024. That would be amazing if there was, if like the day after Christmas, suddenly three planes out of Dublin went down. some Catholic security person just decides to sabotage a bunch of planes just to make the Catholic Church look good.
Yeah.
To make prayer look real.
Yeah. I love it.
Well, if you want to write into us about this or any other thing that we've talked about, please feel free to write to us podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail message. We'd love to hear from you. The telephone number is 424-666-8442. Stick around. There's more show coming up.
Well, Frank, our listeners have heard the voice of Shane Vaughn on the show a number of times before.
The beautiful voice of Shane Vaughn. How dare you?
The dulcet tones of Pastor Shane Vaughn.
Yeah.
And MAGA lover Shane Vaughn. He has recently, and I'm not going to play any of these clips, but he has recently had a bunch of clips where he was insanely racist. Oh. He went on a diatribe, I think, about Letitia James, and was just overtly racist. He recently had another one where he was, he used a horrible slur and then was like, oh no, I can't say that, I'll get in trouble, blah, blah, blah.
After actually legitimately saying it.
After saying, yeah, mumbling it under his breath and being like, oh, well, what? I don't even know what I can call these people now that I've been start getting in trouble. Ooh. That's not what I'm going to play.
Okay, good.
What I am going to play, I just wanted some background. I just want people to have that in their minds as they listen to this. But this is about, this last week, Donald Trump had it was jury selection time for his criminal trial in Manhattan, and they've got a jury. That trial is ready to proceed, so that's exciting. But Shane, Brother Vaughn, had some thoughts.
You need one juror that does the right thing, and it shuts all the other jurors down. Because in a criminal verdict, it has to be unanimous. So I tell you how I'm praying, saints. I'm praying whoever right now in jury selection, listen to me by the Spirit of God, we need to be praying right now the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. We, by the way, if you've not heard my latest sermon on prayer, you need to go watch it at fhtv.tv. Anyway, we need to begin praying for that juror, for that one person, that Yah will touch their heart, because they can mess up the whole thing. One person. That's the power of the U.S. justice system. For a guilty verdict, it has to be everyone on that jury has to be in agreement. Your job, let's begin to pray during jury selection this week and next week, we are the army of the Lord. We, you and I, are the army of the Lord. And I am believing God. I'm not prophesying and I'm not predicting, but I am declaring by faith, not guilty or mistrial. I'll take either one.
Or mistrial. One or the other. I like that he tacked that on.
Oh, golly.
I mean, here's the thing that I'm impressed with. He actually got it right that all you need is one juror to hang up a jury,
right,
in a criminal trial. So he actually got one thing correct.
Right.
So that's impressive. he had a fact right.
What's going on in this world? Shane Vaughn actually said something correct.
Well, and the other thing he did was say, I'm not prophesying, which means he may have learned that lesson too.
No,
because he's gotten a lot of prophecies about old Trumpy. He's gotten them very, very wrong. So,
well, he probably is very, very aware of how guilty, guilty, guilty this guy is.
Well, that's true. That's
like he's not praying that the truth will prevail.
No,
he's praying, not at all. He's praying for a technicality to get his guy off.
Yeah. Yeah. He's pretty damned excited about just maybe somebody will let him go anyway. All right.
Oh, golly.
Well, we had we got some folks that wrote into us. First from one of our favorite listeners, Taru. Woo-hoo. Out of Finland, who said, hello, folks. On episode 644, you talked about an Italian ad for potato chips where those replaced communion wafers. Now I'm waiting for an ad where the communion wine is dipping sauce. How's that for religion?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
All
That's
right.
the stuff right there. That'll do.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Or a soda. What? I'll take some Coke. Take some Coke with my potato chips.
Yeah.
Nice little.
Or even just. Or wine. I mean, I guess it could be wine. Wine is good. Not a traditional pairing with chips, but
Maybe a wine spritzer. We'll make it work.
A sangria, perhaps? That would be delicious.
Oh. Because, yeah.
I do. Yeah. I make a mean sangria, I'll tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is from Mary, who writes into us to say, hello, you great people. As a recovering Catholic with a strong stomach, I have kept up with the child religious sexual abuse as much as I can.
Yeah.
It seems that many survivors do not disclose the fact that they were abused until their own parents have died.
Oh.
It's something I hadn't really thought about, but yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So, one of the big reasons why, you know, I assume this was in reference to us talking about, you know, these laws that give, you know, an extension on the statute of limitations.
Yeah,
because people don't want, you know, people's parents are so into it.
Mm.
And yeah, I mean, I think that the parents would, if I were in that position of having been a victim, and I'm thinking about my devout parents who are so happy in the church and whatever, I would A, not want to ruin it for them.
Mm.
B, not want them to feel like they were responsible, because there is some responsibility there. They put you in a position to be, you know, to be abused.
Mm.
But, I mean, it's not their fault, but I could see why they might think it's their fault. Anyway,
well,
I think there's a lot
I also think reasons. There are a lot of reasons. Because I'm kind of thinking about how it would add to the pain of just going through that moment, right?
Yeah.
And having to manage, potentially having to feel the responsibility to manage your parents' reaction to it.
Yeah. Right? And
which
and
would
also,
just be too much. That makes so much sense. And that,
yeah, there's also the thought that, like, their parents, they might know or predict with a reasonable degree of accuracy that their parents might tell them to stop.
Yeah.
in order to protect their beloved church.
Yeah.
And then they're fighting not only against their abuser and the organization that promotes their abuser, but against their own family.
Yeah. And it just really explains why people are older.
Yeah.
Typically older when these things come out, when they finally come out and make, accuse the priest.
Yeah. Wow. So thanks, Mary, for that. And finally, we have a word from Kara. Kara sent this in. She was the one that sent in one of the stories that I talked about. And you'll get why. She says, "Hi, Frank and Dan. I was struck by a through line in your last two episodes regarding religious accommodations. The first bit dealt with France not allowing footballers who were fasting for Ramadan to play in the games. Frank expressed what I think is a pretty common American impulse that accommodations should be made where possible. And I also had that impulse for most of my life. However, once you start making accommodation, the question becomes where to draw the line? Or in America, with our current Supreme Court, how far do we push? Can we push the envelope?" In this week's episode, something much more serious than whether footballers could play in games was at issue. Infant circumcision and female genital mutilation. While you both agreed that with the principle that you don't mutilate children, Frank said, "I don't know how you balance that." That uncertainty goes back to religious accommodation rather than creating a social commitment to even-handed secularism. You don't get to mutilate children of any sex for any reason, religious or otherwise. This example is particularly interesting as many religions where FGM is practiced proclaim to be in furtherance of their faith, but it's Islam, so we had no problem banning the practice in our country. But penises are being destroyed in the name of less stigmatized religion, and there's a debate about whether and how much mutilation of children is tolerable. This is not to downplay the significantly more destructive nature of FGM, nor to ignore the very real and unfortunately increasing threat of anti-Semitism in American society. But when we're having discussions about how much child mutilation is too much to justify, we've seriously lost the plot. So, yeah, I think that I mostly just agree that you just can't mutilate children.
Well, and I felt like that's what our point was. And then we moved on and sort of stepped into the reality of
it's socially tricky
of just like how do you do this in today's world, I think is kind of where the conversation went. And then once you go into that space, then you do get, you obviously are going to get comments like, well, how do you bring the Jews along on this? Right. And how do you do this without being horribly, you know, accused of anti-Semitism and so forth and so on? Like, yeah, I get it. It's, I hope it didn't seem like I was like, oh yeah, but it's okay over here. Right.
No, I think it's clear that we are opposed to it and against it. And I think that it's fine to say that we think that it should be illegal, even though that has implications for certain religions.
Yeah, I know. I personally, and this is where it's coming from, I have a hard time taking stances that I see as just unviable in sort of our current situation. Like, I always you're never going to do this right now. Yeah. You're never going to get that to pass in the United States.
Right.
Even if it's right, it's never going to happen.
The fight would be too destructive.
I think another thing that I probably said was that we should be working on sort of this changing the social situation around the automatic expectation that children are, or the boys are circumcised at the hospital. Right.
Yeah.
As newborns, right? Like those are the things that I think that we should be working on, because that's what we can actually achieve. I think that we're not in any position right now, even though many of us would like it, to completely just outlaw it.
Here's what we need.
That's why I take stances like that. Is I we try need to some,
yeah.
Be in,
I think that's
in,
clear. I think
in fine. The world as it is right now, right?
Here's what I think we need. I think we need a couple of forward thinking rabbis to come out and say that
you can choose it at 18.
Circumcision happens when you're an adult.
Yeah.
If you want it, you do it when you're an adult, and we don't do it to babies.
Fine. That's fine. If adults can choose what to do with their genitalia as long as they're choosing it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's clear the path for that. And then boom, we can gain some real ground on the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, do we have some folks to thank?
We do, Dan. We actually have a handful of people who signed up this week as supporters of the show. We have a new deacon by the name of Christopher.
Excellent.
We have a new teacher by the name of Looney Jax.
Oh, Looney Jax. Thank you.
A new elder by the name of Amy.
Elder Amy, well done.
I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I think it's probably Amy.
It's a fancy Amy.
Well done. It's a little on the fancy side. It could be a me or a may. I'm not sure, but I'm going with Amy. There's a new patriarch by the name of Donnie. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you all so much.
Your support means the world to us. And if you'd like to join them, you can do so by going to our website, thankgodimatheist.com, and clicking on the support tab. We really do appreciate it. And then, as always, Dan, we have our top donor to thank. Our Lord and Savior, Davis!
More show coming up! Well, all right, Frank. Here's the thing. I don't know if you know this, but the world sucks and our country's getting worse and worse.
Whatever. I think it's getting better and better.
Well, wrong.
Life You're is just good. Wrong. Life is good. The country is in great shape.
Yeah. And we'll soon be able to live out our true creed as a Christian nation. So that'll be great.
Oh, it's just right around the corner.
Yeah. And one
cross
of the
your
ways
fingers
that
for this fall, everyone.
One of the ways that it's right around the corner is a bunch of states, including our own idiot state, have been really working to pass laws that get rid of those dumb old school counselors who have all that idiot training and, you know, stupid master's degrees and stuff, and instead replace them with chaplains, Christian, specifically they want Christian chaplains to be in the schools.
Just I need a backup. Your school counselors had master's degrees?
I think most school counselors have master's degrees.
What are these school counselors doing? Are these school counselors just helped us sign up for college?
Are you talking about
like school psychiatrists or psychologists rather?
I feel like we're getting in the weeds of something that neither of us knows anything about. So I'm really appreciative that you've taken us there, and
I hope that
the entire rest of the show is just us getting into an argument about something that I don't have any idea about.
I'm just saying, I thought school counselors, like, I remember my school counselor coming and giving me my ACT scores.
No, I think school counselors actually frequently, especially in lower grades, do actual counseling.
Oh, okay.
And like,
I was unaware of this. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you were not a problem child like I was, so you didn't have to encounter the things.
or maybe the person who normally was just signing kids up for college was tasked with dealing with you. That's
yeah.
And just sat there.
Who knows?
And listened and just took notes or acted like they were and. Oh, damn.
Anyway, what I think you and I can definitely agree on is that having what amounts to a preacher in that place is not a good thing for kids. And the thing is that in these laws, you know, that have, there are some that have passed in Texas and Florida and other places, Kansas, I think. They when they do this, they are saying that basically there are no qualifications needed other than sponsorship by a church.
Jesus.
And well, and I think some of the states have actually gone so far as to have a background check. Not all, but some of the states have said that a background check is required. So I mean, as you know, as some people have pointed out, this means that, you know, some backwater dumbass pastor could say, okay, everyone in the congregation right now counts as a chaplain, and I certify them as chaplains. And then they can just, you know, all apply to go, you know, do this work at these schools. There's literally nothing to say that they have to have any training whatsoever. Now, a proper chaplain, as our listener Terry will point out, there's like a bunch of stuff you got to know. You got to do some work. You got to do some training.
Sure.
To get to be a proper, an actual chaplain. But not there. Not for this. They just want people to be able to proselytize to children in school. That is the overt point of this, of these laws. It is clear. And the thing is that when someone challenges these people and says, wait a minute, you can't discriminate against other religions. So what about what happens if, you know, a God forbid, a Satanist comes in and says, hey, I'm certified to be a chaplain by the Satanic Temple. What would happen? So they have heard this challenge. They know that this is an issue. And their response has been clear. Nuh-uh. That's literally everybody has the same thing to say, which is, no, doesn't count. Oh, that's not real. There was a guy whose name, and boy, what a name. His name is Rocky Malloy. And literally he looks like the villain in like any movie that's about a small town where there's an evil preacher. It's Rocky Malloy. It's like central cast. He has a stripe of white in his hair. I don't judge a person on looks, but man, central casting did a good job with Rocky Malloy. Anyway, Rocky Malloy is actually he's part of the National School Chaplain Association. Oh, God. He's the leader of the National School Chaplain Association.
I'm sure it's quite the organization.
Oh, yes. Very, very respectable. Highly, definitely didn't just spring up because all these laws are going into effect and he wanted to, you know, be a part of this. Anyway, he was on a show that was like, that's like called the Wall Builders show. That's David Barton's bullshit nonsense group, the Wall Builders. And somebody was like, hey, wait, what if a Satanist church decides to take the job? And he says, well, you know what? I'll just give you the direct quote. There's no such thing as a Satanist chaplain. I know they threaten that, but there are none, and there's not one Satanic chaplain hired by the federal government. Zero. They don't qualify. That's true, that there are no chaplains hired by the federal government. That's because our federal government does actually problematically discriminate against, there have been very qualified humanist chaplains that have applied and then been turned down. We've talked about that on the show. Malloy says, it's a typical demonic threat.
What?
They have no resources. They have no chaplains. No chaplains recognized because they don't qualify. There are no qualifications, Rocky Malloy. So they do qualify. All they have to do is be a member. Here's the thing. The whole playbook here, and Ron DeSantis did the same thing. He just signed a law into effect there in Idiotsville. Sorry, Florida. And he said, quote, some have said that if you do a school chaplain program, that somehow you're going to have Satanists running around in our schools. We're not playing those games in Florida. That is not a religion. That is not qualifying to be able to participate in this.
Okay. That's
just a lie. That's just wrong. It is a religion. The United States of America recognizes it as a religion, and he's not going to be able to do jack shit about it when, inevitably, the Satanic Temple does, in fact, front a bunch of satanic chaplains to try and get this job. And then they're going to sue. But what I wanted to point out is that this is the playbook now. The playbook is make them sue. Pass the worst laws possible, and then make us, the concerned citizens of this country, and the organizations that are in place to protect us, imperfect though they may be, make us sue.
Yeah. Well, I think that what they're doing is the equivalent to, you know, what the left did. Right.
Which is what?
Well, we passed laws that they challenged. Right.
Right.
And not necessarily seeing that, like, these are horrible things that are infringing on people's rights. Right.
Right.
Like these kids who might have to, like, face some, you know, any number of adjectives to describe this a potential chaplain, creepy or needlessly sort of aggressive with their beliefs and whatnot, right? Like, these kids shouldn't have to be dealing with that when they're at a public school, right? I mean, this goes without saying for our audience and everything, but, like, it's just like, I think they probably think that it's just the game. Right. Because they're responding to, like, they feel like they have, like, the upper hand now. Right. And I think they think that's the game.
And you want to know the irony of all of this? Of all of the dumb religions that will put forward people to be chaplains.
Right.
I actually trust the Satanic Temple most to put in the work to make sure that they're good chaplains.
Well, and
it's not like I trust that organization implicitly. I think they've done some good things. I think they've done some dumb things.
Right.
It's a small group. They're out there doing their best.
Right.
It's bound to have issues, but they know that if they put up a chaplain, that person's got to be squeaky clean. They've got to be, genuinely qualified. They've got to have really good training.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think, by the way, if you listener out there are a qualified chaplain, are a person who could fill one of these roles, mm-hmm. and you're willing to put yourself through the ringer to help our country, I think it'd be great to work with the Satanic Temple now. If you're in one of these states, Utah didn't pass our law basically because of fear of the Satanic Temple.
Yeah.
Because Utah's crazies are slightly more pragmatic than the crazies elsewhere.
Right.
Only slightly.
Yeah, not by much, but you're right that they seem to be slightly better advised and willing to listen to the advice. But I was just sitting here thinking about what a remarkable job the Satanic Temple has done as a small organization, like you point out, that they have so completely inserted themselves into this issue, right?
Yeah.
The question is, what will the Satanists do? Right. And it's just like, my God, it's basically, not to diminish the Satanic Temple, actually to like praise them for their work. But it's a handful of people, relatively yeah. speaking, right?
Yeah.
Like it's such a small number of people compared to what they're up, what we're all up against, right?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, it's remarkable.
And they don't have, like, really crazy. They don't have a lot of money. They don't have a lot of, but they work hard. And well,
they've found a way to get the conservatives to do their work for them half the time.
Right.
Right. Like it's the conservatives bringing, like in Utah, bringing up the, well, I don't know. We don't want to have to deal with that Satanic Temple thing. Right.
Yeah.
What are we opening ourselves up to? We're going to have Satanists in these schools. Okay. Yeah. Let's not do that. Right.
Yeah.
Like, well done. You know, and they didn't have to lift a finger to get that one.
If anybody out there wants to, you know, is working on in campaigning for any candidates or whatever, and you can get the message out, part of the messaging that the good guys should be using is these people are purposefully making these crazy laws specifically so that then they will be sued. And they're trying to get it, you know, to the courts. But that means this is a waste of taxpayer money.
Yeah.
They're passing outrageous laws knowing full well that they are going to have to spend hundreds of thousands, if not millions of taxpayer dollars defending these laws in court. They're not passing laws that they think are right and good. They're passing laws that they know will be challenged.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, you know, in a time when people can't afford much, the wasting of people's tax dollars on frivolous shit like this is not okay.
Yeah.
But there you go. You know, sometimes you got to spend a bunch of tax dollars to put kids in danger. That's always a good thing. But they got to hear about Jesus. I don't know where the children would hear about Jesus in Florida if they didn't have this. So. Thank God everything's going well for them. All right. Well, that's it for today. If you'd like to write into us, please do so. It's podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail message. The telephone number is 424-666-8442.
Yeah, go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TGIAtheist, and click that like button.
And if you'd like to join our members-only lounge, you can do so by going to our website, thankgodimatheist.com/members-only.
Yeah. Thanks so much to the Red Rock Hot Club for the use of their fine music.
And thanks to Gordon Johnston for the use of his music.
And thanks to all y'all for tuning in. We sure do appreciate you.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.